If you will open in your Bibles to Jonah, chapter 1, starting in verse 11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me in the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple?' The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments, as we turn to your word, we do so wanting to know you more, wanting to see you, wanting to encounter you. And so, Father, would your spirit have free reign in this place and in our hearts? And in so doing, would your spirit help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you, O God, might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our friend Jonah this morning. Last week, if you were here, you remember you heard we have a calling from God. You have a calling from God. There is some specific way in your life that God is urging you to step into deeper waters with Him. Whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old in this place this morning, it matters not. You have a calling from God. Whether you've walked in the doors of this church every Sunday since you can remember, or if this is your first time back this year, it matters not. If the living God is your God, you've got a calling. God wants to do something new in you and through you. Last week, we left this place with this ticket in our hand, or not, deciding if we were in or if we were out, with this ticket torn up, saying, "God, my life is totally yours," or with that ticket still intact somewhere, saying, "God, for now I'm keeping my options open." However you left last week, I pray that the last 7 days you've been thinking about calling. You've been talking to God and you've been taking God in your life seriously this week. Missing less opportunities, I pray. Today we pick up right where we left off. Life after calling. Jonah's boat is being ravaged by the waves. They've all determined already that Jonah is the reason for this havoc, and so they ask, "What shall we do?" Jonah's response, "Pick me up and throw me in the sea." It's the first time in the story that we finally find Jonah in a place of total surrender. And when God reveals to us what God wants to do in us and through us, we must come to a place of total surrender too. Up until now, it's safe to say that Jonah kind of liked this nice balance of following God and holding on to some certainty in life. God, I'll be your prophet gladly as long as you send me to Tarshish where people will like me and where I'll like them. God, I'll gladly go wherever you want to send me, so long as where you send me is a place where I can have some gold in my bank account and peacocks in my front yard. If you're like, peacocks, that was random. You missed last week, and you just called yourself out. Jonah's commitment to God up to this point was, God, I'm yours. I'll go where you want. I'll do what you want, so long as it's at least kind of what I want, too. God, I'll do your work so long as I can be certain that I won't fail at what you ask me to do. No one likes to look dumb. God, I'll follow you so long as I can be certain that I'm going to kind of like where you lead me. That was Jonah before this key moment when he finally said, you know what? Just throw me in the sea. God will do with me whatever God pleases to do. I may live, I may die. Either way, throw me in the sea, and I'll just wait and see what God has for me. Total surrender. As you've been thinking about that ticket this week, about those nudges that God has put in your heart to lead you into new places with Him, have you come to a place of total surrender yet? Total surrender. God, I don't know if I'll sink or swim, succeed or fail, live or die. Throw me in anyway. Because if I'm not living out your drama in my life, oh God, then why in the world am I wasting this breath at all? Throw me in. Sink or swim, I'll be with God, and that's all I really care about anymore. Have you come to that place yet, my friends? Have you come to a place of total surrender? That's the very first step in life after calling. Can I tell you, about 4 years ago, minus a month or so, I sat that little cross up there on the hill between the church and my house. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was the Saturday before I was going to preach in this pulpit for the first time that next Sunday. And you guys were going to vote if you liked me or not. And can I be honest? Sitting at that cross, I wasn't sure yet if I liked you or not. I was scared to death. I'd been here for about 3 days, and I'd been grilled about being a woman in ministry, and I wasn't so sure you knew what to do with a girl from Texas coming up, and you seemed nervous, I seemed nervous. I'd never been in a small town before. I had never been so far from family that wasn't temporary. I knew my 2 years in Egypt was 2 years in Egypt, and then I was going home. This seemed rather indefinite. And I sat at that cross, and I called my therapist in Texas. And I was sobbing on the phone. And I said, Dawn, I thought by this point I would be totally in. And I said, and I'm scared to death. I said, because I have a hunch God wants me there, but I am scared. I said, I'm scared to leave these friends that I have in Waco like you, Dawn. I have an amazing community there. I'm just going to leave that. My family, my nephews are growing up. My mom messaged me last night, said I was at their basketball game today. Oh, I wish you could see them play basketball. Yeah, me too, Mom. I said, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. There's churches in Texas. How do I know? And then Don said, Jamie, you've seen God bring you this far. Your whole life up until now has been, God, I'm yours. Do what you want. He said, don't go back on that now. He said, you'll know in the morning in worship if this is where I'm calling you. And so at that cross, that Saturday evening, I said, God, I don't know if I want to go or not, but it matters not. My life is yours. And I will trust you, oh God, tomorrow to do your will. And if it's to go back to Texas, I'll go back to Texas. If it's to be here, I'll pack up my stuff and move here. Because, oh my God, my life is fully yours. Total surrender. It comes right after calling. Have you been in that place? Are you in that place now? Then what? For Jonah, it was a big fish. Yeah, big fish. It swallowed Jonah, and he lived in that fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. That fish becomes a turnaround point for Jonah. He's been thrown into the water, and from what we know in chapter 1, he probably kind of hoped that God would just let him sink rather than have to go to Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't sink. He lives. And there's something in that. When he thought that he was good as dead, and God said, not so fast, my friend. I've got life for you even still. There's something in that that changed Jonah's tune for at least a few days. He was happy that he got another shot at life. The fish was Jonah's turnaround. It was that thing that led him to go in a totally different way. Totally surrendered to God, snatched up by a fish. It was there that he decided he would quit fleeing, at least for a little while. Even if he didn't like it, for at least a little while, he would do what God had asked him to do. Have you ever been swallowed by a fish? I mean, not literally, of course, but have you ever had your own turnaround point where all of a sudden you had the courage to name what was keeping you on the path to death and you turned to look life straight on instead? Ever had that? My friend James Evans shared in our recovery group just a few weeks ago his own fish story. A few months ago, it was Easter Sunday. Struggling in the midst of drug addiction, and he said he went home from church on Easter. And he had this little lighter, and it had a little hook on it. And he was looking at this lighter and saying, what in the world is that for? And he got so frustrated, saying, I used to understand how things work. Things used to be clear, and everything is so fuzzy now. And he said, and there was this longing in his heart just to have clarity again. And in this moment, he said he got this glimpse from God when all these things just started to click. And he started to see what and what was supposed to be. And he remembered crying out to God, God, I don't want this moment to stop. Everything's clear again. And he sensed God saying to his heart, James, it doesn't have to stop. My heart for you is for things to be clear between you and me and you in this world. It's turnaround point. My friend Jimmy Johnson, I bring it up all the time because the testimony you gave at your baptism will stick with me forever. After his son passed away 7-8 years ago, Jimmy told me, he said, you know, I got to this place where I was just kind of waiting to die to be with my son again. And he said, but God said, not yet, my friend. And he said, I've come to this place where I believe now that God wants me to live. And so I'm going to choose to live. And that baptism was his turnaround point. Jimmy's fish. One of our youth, I was talking to her just last week, and she was talking about how some of the adults in this church have poured into her so deeply in the last few weeks and years. And she said because of that, she's starting to see that some of the mess in her home life isn't normal, isn't the way it's supposed to be. Last week she sat with me and she told me how hard it is to realize that what she's grown up with is actually really broken. And she said, but yet it's made me determined to make a different path for my life and for my future family. Some of you have been that turnaround point for this young woman. Your fish, that person, that experience, that stirring in your heart that tells you that God's not done with you yet. He's got a hope and a future for you, but there needs to be some turns to get there. Have you been there? Have you made those turns? Are you still making those turns? You know, that's why we come here every week. Yeah, I said every week in 2019, believe it or not. That's why we come here. Because worship is this divine opportunity every 7 days to turn back around, to face our God, and to reorient ourselves to which direction points to life. Because we just forget. The paraphrase for Sabbath, for that rest that we're called to take every Sunday, is just simply this. Stop it. That's Hebrew, kind of. Stop the rat race and the addiction to busyness, yes. But also stop it. Whatever it is that keeps you sick and only half awake to what God's up to, we come here to hear Him say again, stop it. Whatever keeps your heart numb, we come here every 7 days to hear it again, stop it. Whatever's made you hard to the needs of those around you, worship tells us over and over, stop it. Whatever's making you flee from God's call, we come back to this place over and over and over and over again to hear God say it again, stop it. Stop that addiction that you have to death and turn towards life. In worship each week, we enter the embrace of our God so He can hold us for a while and love us. And turn us back around to go out in another direction. That this place might be as a fish, a turnaround place for each of us today. Total surrender, that turnaround place. And then there's the holding cell. That fish, it didn't just swallow Jonah up and then immediately spit him out facing Nineveh this time. Well, that would be too easy. And God doesn't seem to have a thing for what's too easy, unfortunately. Instead, Jonah got to hang out in the belly of that fish. That dark, foreign place for 3 days and 3 nights. Our God has a thing for letting His people hang out in the waiting room. Jonah is ready to live. He's ready to go to Nineveh and do what he's been asked to do. And not so fast, Jonah. You'll hang out here for a little while first. What? That happened to Moses, you know. God told him what God was going to do through him, that He was going to free him from the Israelites from slavery. And then there was the waiting. Those failed attempts to convince Pharaoh to let them go. How long did that take? I don't know. It wasn't immediate. I wonder why God had Moses wait before He actually used him as He planned. David waits. He's just a boy when Samuel anoints him as king, and there's already another king on the throne at that. It would be years before David stepped into that call. I wonder why God had David wait. Jesus, He gets baptized. His first big step to follow God's call on His life. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Oh, could there be a higher high than that? Jesus had heard the call, the voice of His Father. He had accepted it. He was ready to take on the world. But before a sermon was spoken, before a healing performed, just a moment, Jesus, 40 days alone in the desert. I wonder why God had Jesus wait. Paul, he converts. He gets called in a flash, and he is ready to go tell those Gentiles about Jesus. Not so fast, Paul. Before anything, he spent 3 years in waiting. I wonder why Paul didn't get to just jump right into it. Jonah, finally ready to preach to Nineveh. And then God says, you know, come to think of it, Jonah, they can wait a few more days. I'd rather hold you right here in this deep, dark place for a while. I wonder why, when we're finally ready to get busy for God, so often God has us wait. What do you think? It seems to me that those holding places are where God does his most intense, intimate work in us, so that he can use us to capacity when we rise from that place to share his work with others. In these waiting places, these holding cells, when we are trying to get God to get a move on with us, and it feels more like God's putting the brakes on, so often God is taking us into the depths of ourselves if we will go there with him. Before we get busy putting all the focus on other people's mess, in these deep, dark waiting places, God is inviting us to give a thorough, honest look at our own mess, our own vulnerabilities, our own egos, our own fears. Those waiting places, God's asking us to get real and name what it is that jolts us from our sleep in the middle of the night. In those places, God invites us to look at our wounds and tell him the stories of how they got there and how they still hurt. In those waiting places, we come head to head with the realities of our dysfunctional families and how we've been shaped by that for better or for worse. In those waiting places, we get honest about our needs for power and spotlights and success and courageously invite the living God to speak truth into those gritty places. When we're forced to stop and turn everything off and just sit with our God, it's not long before those thoughts we run from take over. And that's why we don't do it very often. That's why we stay so busy, or at least keep the TV on. You know, so many folks go to bed with the TV on. And you know what that means? They wake up with the TV on. And you know what that means? That means that every waking moment of their day is surrounded by noise, by any voice, but the voice, the voice that shows us who we really are and who he really is. Those quiet, dark places make us face our stuff head on. They lead us into that deep work on ourselves so we might be as whole as we can be as we live out our calling on the other side of the waiting. You're like, oh, I just want to do big things for God, but God won't use me. Have you let him do the big stuff in you yet? The waiting place. How do we keep growing in those waiting places and not get discouraged or stagnant? Jonah did two things that help us. One thing he did, he sang a psalm. That's all of chapter 2. It's in the tradition of the Hebrew Psalms, and that's the words from God for the people of God. Question, how did Jonah know this psalm while he was in the deep, dark belly of a fish? Did there just happen to be a Hebrew songbook over there by the left rib or something? I mean, come on. Jonah sang that song because that song had been hidden in his heart long before that crazy call to Nineveh ever came. Jonah lived in the words of Scripture when life was ordinary. And so he had those words to hold on to when things got just a little bit extra ordinary. And my friends, can I be honest with you? This scares me. Because Christians in America, could I even say Christians in Belfair Community Church, are less familiar with the words of Scripture than at any other time in our history. And it's just that true. If I asked you this morning to give me 5 verses that shape you in your life with God, just like that, could you name 5? In this whole big book, could you name 5 verses that shape you in your life with God? And so that when you get in that deep, dark, frustrating, confusing, waiting place, you still will know what's true. It's important. How about stories? If I ask you what story in Scripture gives you courage, would you raise up your hand and say, that one just like that? If I ask you what story calms your anger when you're in rush hour traffic, what's there? What do you fall back on? If I ask you what verses, what floods your heart and mind when you get that phone call that sends your world spinning? What story, what promise gives you peace and grounding when the ground under you is crumbling? What do you have for me, for you? Jonah had these words in his heart. And so when he was far away from a Wi-Fi connection and BibleGateway.com as could be, he could still sing out what was good and what was true. He could still praise his God. He could still find a place to stand and something to hold on to because these words were hidden in his heart. Are these words in our hearts? Oh, but we just can't memorize things anymore, people say. Really? How many songs do you know the lyrics of? Random songs. Turns out there are a whole lot of words hidden somewhere in all of our brains and hearts because at some point in our lives, we took the time to listen over and over and let them become a part of us. We can memorize stuff if it matters to us. Might our hearts overflow with God's word so it pours out of us in those unsettling, holding cells. It'll do us more good in those places than uptown funk. I can guarantee you that. That God's word grounds us and keeps us growing, even when we're in the belly of a fish. God's word isn't speaking to us there. I can guarantee you this. The words of anxiety and despair will gladly take the floor. May our hearts be filled with God's word. And then along with that song, Jonah chose gratitude. Gratitude. Verse 9. The song concludes, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Did you notice what hasn't happened yet in verse 9? Anybody? He's still in the fish. Thank you. Jonah is still in his deep, dark, stinky, messy place. And with gratitude, he praises his God in that place. Not after he gets what he wants. But right then, right there, still in the dark, Jonah gives thanks. I ask you this, when's the last time God didn't give you your way and you thanked him anyway? You know, I think it's really hard to measure spiritual maturity. But if there is a way, I'm becoming more and more convinced that those who are truly the farthest along in their walk with God are those whose lives exude the most gratitude. Because that's the sign that you're paying attention to what God's doing right here and right now. Gratitude. You can find it in the belly of a fish. Turns out you can find it anywhere. Because our God is everywhere. And God is up to something. Any place God is. And so all places, all times, there is always a reason to give thanks. And if we don't, it's not because God's not showing up or doing anything to deserve it. It's because we're the ones not paying a wink of attention to our living God. While you're waiting for God to give you the green light on that calling that God's stirring in you, don't just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Open your eyes. Take a look at God on the move around you and give God thanks. Jonah, I was as good as dead, God. And sure as heck, didn't imagine sitting in a fish. But with a grateful heart, God, I can't help but smile and give you thanks. You're always up to something, oh God. Thank you. It's truly amazing what people can find to grumble about. Anything and everything. You know what grumbling is, people of God? You know what it is? Absolute laziness. That's it. Open your eyes. Wherever you are, however lame you think life is right now, however stuck you feel, however tired you are of waiting, open your eyes and pay attention. Because your good, loving, living, moving, stirring, creating, breathing, redeeming, reconciling, healing, peacemaking, justice-giving God is on the move. Look up and then fall on your knees and give thanks. Grumbling? Please, that's just lazy. We're better than that. You are a child of God. Wherever you are, open your eyes and dote on that God. Be grateful and grow while you're waiting to go. I've told you before the story about my grandma, Mimi, to me. Amazing woman of God, followed him all 92 years of her life with her whole heart. Her last 3 years, she had dementia pretty badly, and she spent many days afraid and confused. And you know, when folks get dementia, sometimes it totally changes their personality, and sometimes it reveals those things that they've been suppressing all along. Now they just say what they've always wanted to say. That's the fun part sometimes. And there was one day in my grandma's life that was particularly hard. She had been hallucinating all day and seeing these figures that scared her, that tormented her. She was crying out all day for my mom to come and to send them away and to help her. My mom kept saying, they're not here, they're not here. I'm here, I'm here. And they'd pray together. It was a long, exhausting day. My mom put her 92-year-old mom to bed that night. She was so tired. And my grandma looked up and got this big grin on her face. And she said, Joyce, hasn't this day been divine? Did you hear that? Grumbling, you guys. That is so lazy. Every day with God, it's divine. And oh my gosh, it's a gift. It is our choice to see it and celebrate it or not. The mark of a grown-up God follower. Someone sitting in the belly of a smelly fish, giving thanks. The mark of an infant in spiritual terms. Someone surrounded by the beauty and goodness that's right before our eyes and grumbling because the traffic's not quite fast enough. The pew's not quite comfy enough. The cookies weren't quite gooey enough. Please, how lazy. Look up and be grateful. See your God, he's right there, and give him thanks. That will grow us while we're in our waiting room. Jonah totally surrendered, turned from death, walked toward life. And he embraced his waiting place, singing the words of God and giving thanks to his God. And soon enough, Jonah rose up with a faith like he never had before. with gratitude that would open more eyes to see, and with a communion with his God that wouldn't be broken. He rose up ready for mission, that we might go there with him and rise up just the same. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you know where all of us feel like we are waiting right now. You know those things in our hearts that are keeping all of us from being totally surrendered. And you know those places that we are totally surrendered and wondering, what now, God? Oh, Father, in all of this, may our hearts know your word, and may our lips sing your praise. You are worthy, oh God. Even before the fish spits us out, you are worthy, because you are big and you are good and you are with us and you are for us. And life is what you're all about. And so, Father, for my brothers and sisters in this room, I pray that this would be a week of life and more life for them and for all of those that they will rise up and share your good news with. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.